Turning your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. We're at the finish line here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 22, we'll begin with verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will open up our understanding tonight and reveal to us what we need to understand, Lord, from this. As this is your word, Lord, and you are the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit, take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So here the description is a clear river of water. And there's absolutely, how many are glad this? There's not going to be any pollution in heaven, right? This is a clear, absolutely pure water. It's not going to be in the city, and it's not going to be on the new earth either. And it talks about this golden street in the New Jerusalem. And it's like a boulevard there, that the river is actually going to flow down the middle of it. And the tree of life is there, and its fruit can be enjoyed by only the overcomers, the overcoming believers. We know that nothing defiling is going to enter into the city. That's clear from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. And it's clear by this text that we will be eating in heaven. So if you like to eat, heaven is going to have plenty of food. It's going to be a good place to eat. You don't have to worry about botulism or anything like that. You don't have to worry about dieting in heaven because you'll have a glorified body. The nations are the ones who occupy the new heaven or the new earth and have access to the city. There's not going to be any sickness at this time. And so the leaves are going to be there really, it seems, to maintain the life, just as they would have sustained Adam in the very beginning. Remember that the tree of life was there in the garden. And after they had disobeyed God and eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God had banned them. He cast them out of the garden and banned them. He put a cherubim and then flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life, lest they should eat of that tree and live forever. And an eternal state of corruption. And as we know, the devil and his angels, they do not have any hope of redemption. Only mankind has hope through Jesus Christ, the last Adam, amen, who became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He came to redeem us, to buy us, to purchase us back to himself by paying the price for our sins on the cross. And so, thank God, this is going to be a place that's going to be, it's going to be, you know, unspeakable. It hasn't even really come to our mind. We cannot conceive in our natural understanding anyways the things that God has reserved or stored for those who love him. And so, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And the awesome thing is that God allows us, you know, a taste of heaven now. He has given us a deposit, amen, of himself, his Holy Spirit, guaranteeing what is to come. And so heaven is in our hearts. We have a knowledge of eternity and of heaven in us. And when we receive Christ, amen, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And so that's the awesome thing, is that even though in the natural, you know, we cannot partake of this tree, in the spirit we can still drink of the water of life. We don't have to wait to go to heaven to drink from this water. It's not just in the sweet by and by, it's for the now. God wants to bring in, amen, heaven to earth through his church. And if we're not abiding in heaven, and if we're not abiding in Christ, then we're not able to do that. We're not able to make Him known in the earth. Except that we abide in Him, we can bear no fruit. And so this fruit is the fruit of His Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them that believe on Me, as the Scripture said, out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so it's interesting how there's these parallels to the New Jerusalem, and even in the Old Testament pattern of the temple, and the, you know, how everything had its order. There was three chambers. There was an outer court, an inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. And so we are body, soul, and spirit. And it's in the heart that we commune with God. It was in the very core of the earthly temple that the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. God literally dwelt between the cherubim on top of the mercy seat. Amen. In the temple on the earth. Hallelujah. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, remember what happened? The temple veil, right, that had kept man from His presence was torn from top to bottom. Meaning the way into the most holiest has now been opened to you and I today. Hallelujah. So now we can come confidently to the throne of grace. And we can receive mercy. We can find grace to help us in our time of need. And Father just is there. He's got His arms open. We're His kids. We don't have to beg. We come as children, knowing that our Father loves us, cares for us, has what we need. We got to call on Him, that's all. And He knows what's best for us, so it's not always going to be the way we think we should get it or when we think we should have it. But when we're ready for it, He gets us ready for what He has for us. It's not an instantaneous thing. We're in a process of being developed spiritually, amen, and maturing. And even in the natural, as we have to go through a process of maturity before we can do adult things, so it is in the Spirit. As we grow in the Lord, amen, He will entrust us with more. He will give us a greater level of authority as we mature in the Lord. And as we submit ourselves to Him in obedience, and we prove to be faithful in little, He said He'd make us ruler of much. So there's not going to be any more curse, verse 3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Now we know the curse originated in the Garden of Eden, but here we see it completely obliterated. It's going to be no more. Nothing that is cursed will be able to enter, amen, into this city. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, they, who's that? The redeemed. Those who've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Those who are His people. You and I. Amen. Who have had our garments washed in the blood of the Lamb. And have been clothed in the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Those who are clothed in Christ will be able to enter. Amen. And exit the city. We'll be able to come and go. And we're going to be forever with the Lord. We shall see Him face to face. His name, of course, is going to be where? On our foreheads. And we know that those who refuse the love of the truth will receive a lie, they'll believe a lie, and they will be marked by the mark of the beast. And yet, the redeemed of the Lord will have His mark on their forehead. Therefore, God is identifying that this is the seal of ownership, that this one belongs to Me. And aren't you glad? The Father says, boom, you're Mine. And you're in the palm of His hand. Sometimes I find that hard to believe because I don't always feel that way. But God says it. Jesus said it. No one is able to pluck you out of My Father's hand. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Amen? Our own understanding, you know, cannot fathom God's understanding. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We cannot reason everything, amen, in the kingdom. It must come through revelation. It must come through the light of Christ as He reveals Himself to us, as He makes Himself known. In whatever capacity that is, each one of us receive a measure of grace. Each one of us have a certain amount of revelation that we can share together in this life. Amen? What God imparts to us, what He has revealed to us, we can take and we can impart to others. There are things that are beyond me. There's times when I just don't get it. I study, I pray, I don't get it. I look at commentaries, they still don't make sense to me, until the time when the Lord says, now you can understand it. It's up to Him. We cannot know truth except the Holy Spirit says, okay, you can have it now. Sometimes I think we can be dangerous, okay, if we receive certain revelation, but we don't have the maturity for that revelation. We got people that are running around looking for deep revelation, and yet they have such a shallow walk with Jesus, and they have no foundation. They don't even know what the basics of the faith are. And they're going around looking for deep stuff, and they're getting into trouble because they're getting into heresy. That's into false teaching. And they don't realize it because they have no basic foundation. And there's no other foundation that can be laid than that has already been laid, and that is through Christ Jesus. On Christ. Everything is built on Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation of the church. And so we want to stay into the Word and read the letters and the teachings of the apostles and find out what the Lord has revealed to us through them. And then when we begin to know the Lord personally through a walk in a relationship, amen, and through practical experience, we will begin to then identify His voice, and we will be able to discern between His voice and the enemy. You see, it comes through experience. And we do make mistakes, don't we, in the process of revelation and learning and growing. But God is faithful. If we have a heart to know, and we pray and ask God to reveal the truth to us, He will. I pray, God, deliver me from deception. You know, set me, keep me, protect me from false teachers and from false teaching and from deception and from lies of the enemy. Because, first of all, I don't want to be deceived, but I certainly don't want to deceive you. And I'm going to give an account to everything that I say to you, because you are His property, not mine. So I pray, God, help me. And so what He reveals to me, I can give you. Beyond that, I can't. Only what God gives to me. And I operate in a different mantle than you might. I operate according to the mantle or the anointing that's in my life. And I see through a perspective, a certain window. As an evangelist and also a pastor, you know, it's my perspective may be a little different than yours, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong because it's different. What it means is together we grow up into the Lord, into maturity. I can receive revelation from you and mature and be well-rounded as a believer. But if I think that I have all the truth and nobody else seems to have a clue, and there are people that are that way in the body of Christ, who they think they know all the truth, you know, and nobody else has, or if you don't see things exactly the same way they do, you're a heretic. And I've been accused of heresy at least once. Simply because they did not have an understanding of what I was saying. Or because they were convinced in themselves that they were right and everybody else was wrong. They had an unteachable spirit. We do need to be careful, but at the same time, we need to be open to correction and to be instructed of the Lord, because we're all in this process together. And nobody has all truth. We need each other. We need to keep each other accountable to truth. But we do it with the recognition that I myself also only have a measure of truth. You know, if I come to correct you or a brother or sister, I also are coming with a perspective, and I need to come in humility, understanding that myself, I'm subject to the Holy Spirit. Amen. I apart from the Holy Spirit, can't do anything. I can't understand the truth. Now, you have people who are intellectually brilliant, you know, and God gives people brilliant minds. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as their brilliant mind is submitted to the authority of God's Holy Spirit. But there are those who will not submit to the Spirit of God, but have a great intellect. You know what I'm saying? They're very intelligent people, and they can be very dangerous, because they will take the Word and use it deceitfully. They will use it as a battering ram or a way of manipulation, controlling people. They'll make it say whatever they want it to say because they've got it memorized. And so, I just thank God that I have to depend on Him, because if you're in a place of dependency, there's safety there. Are you with me? It's safe when we're in a place of dependency upon Him. And I'm realizing more and more, and sometimes it's scary, but it's like, God, I can't even do this. When I was a young believer, I was like, you know, hey, let's go get the bull by the horns. We're going to go do this thing, you know. We're no problem, you know. Cocky and self-confident. Nobody's ever been there before, but yeah. Nah. But as you mature and as the process and the work of the Spirit is taking place in your life, you become less and less dependent on yourself, and you realize that in me there's no good thing. As a matter of fact, I can teach you an entire lesson and you can go away empty and hungry and receive nothing, unless I'm under God's authority, I'm submitted to the Spirit of God, and I'm depending on Him to give me fresh manna for you. And so as a people, that's where we need to all be. We need to give what God gives. Hallelujah. And you know, God is good at breaking us in the sense that a horse has to be broken, amen, so that it can be user-friendly. And our self-confidence can get us into trouble. Does anybody identify with what I'm saying? That as you grow and you mature, you're finding out more and more you actually become the work of the cross. See, it eliminates you and dependency on you. Yes. And but through that is resurrection. This is life. Hallelujah. So now you're operating in the power of the Spirit because you're depending on the Spirit. Yes. That's right. We are. Hallelujah. In this, it says that in verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no lamp or light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. In other words, no other type of artificial light will be necessary. The sun will no longer shine. Why? Because the Lord Himself, God's radiance, is going to lighten and warm us forever and ever. Hallelujah. The glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Then he said to me, verse 6, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So the angel of the Lord comes to John and says, this is why I've showed you these things. These things will shortly come to pass. And he says in verse 7, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, if you look up that word in verse 7, quickly, it's not used in relationship to hours, days, months, or even years. It has to do with a series of events happening in rapid succession once they begin. Jesus said, as a woman in travail with child, you know, at first the contractions are spread out and they're not as severe, but then they become closer together and more severe as, you know, the child's getting ready to be birthed. And so it is, we're looking at these things happening right now in the earth. These are the birth pangs, folks. I believe we are in the beginning of this time right now. And what we're seeing is an increase of catastrophic things happening, earthquakes in all kinds of places, unusual things happening with the sun. They're now noticing that the sun flares are much worse than they ever have, and the potential to fry literally the entire electronic grid is a very real possibility. And this is not to scare; it's to prepare and make us aware that Jesus said, "Listen, these things are going to happen." You know, be prepared. Keep looking up. Amen. Watch and pray. He said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. So what do we need to do? We need to stay awake and just realize, hey, Jesus is coming. We have a mission. We've got to let people know that there is an escape from the wrath of God if they will come to Jesus. If they will forsake their sins and call upon Him for mercy, God is merciful. God wants to forgive. God wants to save. Amen? Amen. God wants you to be part, hallelujah, of His kingdom. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so, in other words, once these things begin to happen, the events will fall into place so rapidly that a state of preparedness should be maintained. Now, in Luke 21, verse 25, Jesus said, "And there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Have we not been seeing that? With the tsunamis and the earthquakes and all these things. Well, earthquakes trigger tsunamis. And then he says in verse 26, and there is, men are literally, their hearts are failing. We have heart disease and heart failure like never before in history. Men's hearts failing them from fear. How many know that fear is not good for you? How many know that we don't have to walk in fear? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And perfect peace is in Him. Amen? Perfect love is in Him. That casts out all fear. And expectation, he says, there's a fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Folks, many people are worried. Many people are concerned. Right now, they know something is wacky. Something's going on. We're looking at our nation today. We're looking at unprecedented drought and things that are happening right now. And it says the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In verse 28, Jesus said this. He says, they will see. They. Those who are on the earth at that time. But then he says to his people, his followers, verse 28, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. Or near. So blessed means happy. Very extremely happy is the individual who is ready for his Lord's return. The call of the Spirit is going out. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Amen? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come to the waters. Amen? Come to Jesus. He is the fountain of living waters. Revelation 21:6, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Who are those who are thirsty? Those who realize that within themselves they don't have what it takes to overcome. They don't have what it takes to sustain through this journey. Amen? They don't have what it takes to save themselves. Those who are thirsty are the ones who are not filled up on the things of this world. Some people are not thirsty for the things of God because they've been choked by the things of this world, the cares and the riches of this life. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Woo! He is our righteousness. Those who will enter the gates of the New Jerusalem will be those whose names are written in the book of life. Amen? Revelation 21, verse 27 says, but there shall by no means enter it, what? New Jerusalem. Anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those who do not have on their wedding garment, those who are not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, will not be able to stand in the presence of the Lord. Are you with me? They will not be able to enter into the city. And so we must be washed. We must be cleansed. We must repent of our sins. And we must turn to Jesus. Amen? Amen. That we might be clothed in His righteousness. And that is the only way that you and I are able to stand before our holy God. Is because God sees His righteousness. When I see the blood, amen? Death will pass over you. And when He sees that we have been clothed, amen, with the garment that He alone can provide, we will be ready for Him. Hallelujah. So our prayer is, Lord, clothe us in Your righteousness. Purify our hearts. If you need to repent, repent of your sin. Get your heart right with God. Amen? Trust in the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. Matthew 22 and verse 12 says this, they will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who does this pertain to? It pertains to those who do not have God's righteousness. They will be cast into outer darkness. Who are those? Those who trust in their own righteousness. Those who believe that in themselves, somehow they're righteous enough for God. Our righteousness is not found in us. Our righteousness is found in God alone. My faith is not in my ability to save myself. My faith is in the finished work of Jesus. Amen? The only one who can save me is Jesus. So my faith and my hope and my trust is in what Jesus has done for me at the cross. Amen? Only through the cross, only through the blood can we enter in. So what are we going to do with the revelation that we receive? What are we going to do? Matthew 22 and verse 9, where it talks about the man who did not have on the wedding garment, who had come in to the wedding banquet. How many know that you and I are the bride of Christ? And the bride has to be clothed and prepared for her husband, Jesus Christ. But there was a man who was in there that did not have on the garment of righteousness. And so he was taken and he was cast out. And yet, Jesus said this to His disciples. He said, therefore go into the highways and as many as you find. Are you hearing this tonight? Yes. Invite them to the wedding. This is the message, folks. You and I have given the assignment to invite people to the wedding. Invite people to the party that God is throwing. Invite people to eternal life, amen, and eternal joy. Invite them to a place where they can have their sins blotted out and their names written in heaven and have on the garments that Christ provides so that they will be saved in the day when Christ comes. Hallelujah. Or when He calls them home. Father, we just thank You for Your word today. We thank You that You have given us power by Your Holy Spirit to be witnesses for You. Acts 1:8 says, behold, I give you power. You will receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be My witnesses. Lord, we ask You to fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask You to pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us. God, we ask You to give us great boldness. Give us, Lord, the ability to stand up fearlessly and to proclaim the message of the gospel of the kingdom. That we, Lord, will be about Your business. That we will go out with the message and invite people, Lord God, to the banquet that You are preparing for those, Lord, who are prepared. God, we ask You to stir up within each one of us, Lord, a passion and a desire for the things of God. That we will return to our first love and do the first works. God, that we will not walk in apathy and complacency. Break it off us, God. Break off apathy. Break off complacency. We come against that spirit in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. And God, we pray, release the fire of God, the fire from heaven to burn in our hearts. God, give us holy passion, God. Give us stirring up the gift within us, Lord. God, that we will rise up a mighty army that are not afraid, that are not in fear, But as we have been redeemed, Lord, we know that no matter what happens, and even as we walk through the waters, they shall not overflow us. Through the fire we shall not be burned, and neither shall the flame even kindle upon us. For you are the Lord our God, and you have commissioned us, you have called us. We are your people. We are kings and priests unto you, Lord. We are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. You have given us kingdom, dominion, and authority, delegated authority on the earth to command sickness, disease, and demons, that they would obey us, that we would go about and do the works that you did, Lord, to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Father, empower your people. Empower us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Strengthen us with might and the inward parts, Lord. Open our eyes to look upon the fields and see that they are white unto harvest. Father, we pray for the opening of doors, Lord. Opportunities for your people, God, to sow in the Holy Spirit. And doubtless one day return rejoicing, having our sheaves full. God, we want to praise you. We want to honor you with our lives and with our gifts and with our talents and everything that we have, God. As you have given us glory, we give you glory. As you have praised us, Lord, as your people, we give you praise, Holy God. We want to honor you, Father, in all we do. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm making all things new, the Lord said. Get ready. Prepare the way of the Lord. A highway for our God. That's right. Hallelujah. Jesus, show us the way, Lord. Lead us in the way we should go. Lord, we want to bear much fruit. Lord, we don't want to go empty-handed. We don't want to fall behind. Lord, we want to walk with you. We want to walk with you, Lord, close. We want to yoke up with you, Lord. You said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, but the way of the transgressor is hard. My God, I pray, keep us. Keep us, Lord, connected. Keep us, Lord, in that place of abiding union with you, of intimacy with you, that we'll be a people of prayer, a people of your presence. God, we're calling in the kingdom reign of heaven to the earth. Father, as in heaven, just as it is in heaven, so let it be on the earth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.